is on, if you get past the cover sheet, the first sheet, which is a summary, item number 11, component number 11, capital improvements, $150,000, but we reduced to $75,000. Otherwise, item number 11, first item, the summary, that would be the change as a result of the veto, capital improvements, would be reduced to $75,000, so $25,000 for fire doors and shrinking carpeting, and $50,000 for other capital improvements. Otherwise.
No, it's our capital.
The, there's a little action there in the finance committees, in that the money for the second floor floor was put in appropriation twice. Once to stand out, $50,000 to implement the resolution, and once in the capital improvements, which was just identified as straight capital improvements. We didn't ask, there were added add-ons in the finance committee. Because they thought the governor might be still.
So he got out of foot.
They didn't think he'd find two, well, he found one, and found the third of the other. This is what the finance committee's.
If we take over the fourth floor, he wants it to be shabby.
Then from there on, pages on what I've done is broken down each component. You'll notice the format there, starting on page 3, which is the legislator salaries allowance. But the format is, I've given the working budget over on the left-hand side. Throughout the year, I will be updating this on a month-to-month basis, showing the expenditures, the encumbrances, and the balance available at the end of each month. So we can have monthly financial reports showing what the status is of the fund. And so I merely have gone down each component where the monies are unallocated. For instance, like on page number 3 in the right-hand corner, it's not page 3, it's number 3. You'll notice there are the contractual services. At the time I prepared this, I had the whole $400,000 special studies and expenses to be allocated by the council. The council has now allocated a share of that money, and so then I will be able to allocate that out. Future statements. That's where number 3 is.
Zero the right-hand
corner. It's the fourth component. Fifth 3. Page.
So that will be able to be allocated out as it is allocated out by the council.
What did you ask me? When you calculate legislative salary, do you do the rate we're currently getting, or the rate we'll be getting after the next election?
Rate you're currently.
There'll be some money there.
Incredible prediction.
We can run a 200-day session and recover that.
Oh, Lord. I told everybody, you know, if we just put it up to $1 million, I think that would have been a substantial change, and then it would have been off the ballot, and then we could all retire for the year.
You also notice under number 8, on number 8 for the $190,000 for the council, I just have put to be determined on component number 8 right hand corner. Legislative council. The $190,000 was arrived at. $100,000 was in your budget initially for travel, and appropriation increased that by $90,000 in rotation, and it was for oil and gas. But I have no allocation on the limit for that, so I just say to be determined. And going down to component 11 is again is where the veto has an effect. You notice at that time I showed there was $125,000 for second floor renovations. That is now down to the $50,000. Well, the total is down to 75, but the fire doors and chamber cartridge remain.
Okay,
so it's
just the 125 down.
Which makes the budget
over
there
a total of 75,000. So the next page on the code revision, again, I have it to be determined until the code revision commission is fully appointed and convenes and determines their budget. And I'll have a breakdown there. Same way that the next one, the agricultural policy, which was spoken of earlier this morning, we get a breakdown on that, but actually, what it the budget will be broken down. I'll actually put that breakdown in here. And again, on page number 14, for the oil gas tax revenue allocation of $111,000. This was the specific item. The other $90,000 is also going to be allocated. You could combine those at that time. The only other comment that I have generally about the working budget for next year is that we made a policy decision in this budget. In allocating the budget out for the session, I have split the session from the way the budget went to the legislature, in that I pulled out all those that were session costs that are for the more or less administered by the agency itself, by the three divisions, into our respective division budgets out of the session, so that we have control over those positions and those funds. Talking the print shop and the our own messengers that we put on, etc. So pull those out, the temporary help in the Anchorage Information Office, etc. I pull those out and put those in our respective division budget in the session cost instead of in the category session cost. That's the only general change that I made from the budget.
Are there any questions? This is what we're aiming at this time last year.
Thank you, Leo.
If anybody wants to know about how we're doing the past fiscal year, I think we will be able to deal with a surplus. It could be a sizable surplus. I don't know the exact figure yet, but I think we will be lapsing some money back to the general fund on the basis that session costs are underestimated. We have some vacancies at the end of the session for staff. Positions weren't filled. Catch up on the deal where after the budget was submitted, we realized what the law said about the budget. My whole written session had to use $13 a day. And of course, the money that was lapsed by the committees as well. So,
when you get the final figure on that, would you make a press release about it after this week?
It'll probably be to the end of August before we'll have such a meeting. Because we do have 2 months to pay for the insurance bills.
Mr. Miller and then Mr. Yacht.
Is there any way we can fund that $25,000 if we're going to pay merit out of mercy or
something? That's a prior year.
Can we encumber it now?
The governor does it.
Mr. Huber.
I wanted to report, last year we had estimated taxation revenue requirements earlier at $100,000. We came to put it down in figures to get approved by the council. It was $136,400. I'm happy to report that $40,678.16 has been lapsed. That figure came up from this level of the work will probably be confirmed at a later date, which means the total expenditures were $95,721.84. At least that was the difference. That didn't green book in the final report. I'm sure glad it's over.
Good.
95,671. The next item on the agenda is a policy restatement on travel of members of the council or legislature and council funds.
Madam Chairman, I'd like to explain this all. Every member, I believe, received a copy of my letter to Mr. Charney, who at the end of the session was seeking policy. We discovered that last summer minutes were not kept for policy decisions, so I, with the interim coming on and travel pending, I asked the chairman to be good enough to state me a view that we could use until such a time as the council met. Meantime, I've talked to the senator and with Speaker Bradner regarding travel, and I offered as a basis for discussion a statement on council member travel. Now, the reason I'm emphasizing this in my staff position is that the council's reform of its bookkeeping and accountability and reporting is very insistent last year, and one of the biggest areas was receiving of claims in from members of the legislature, tonight members of the council, saying so-and-so approved this, or here's the bill, I went anyway, and that sort of thing, which may be symptomatic of some practices or lack of practices over the years. And in keeping with the council's insistence upon accountability, as a certifying officer myself and MERT as Direct Administrative Services, needs some direct council action. Now, in this here, ignoring first some of the substance, but getting down nitty-gritty, we are requesting that those authorized to have people travel directly contact the agency, their aides or directly themselves, to advise that under council policy, that the council decides this is policy, that so-and-so or several persons are authorized to travel to and from a given place. Because we know we really have the eyes on this, on the travel bit, among everything else, of course, but particularly on the travel. And it would be more than a comfort, it'd just be good business to know exactly what those authorized or authorized have decided, and they have advised us that this particular trip is fine. The merits of the trip is the business of the members of the council, but the bookkeeping and the accountability back to the council is our responsibility. And we want to do it right. So I've asked the chairman if we might have a review of a possible suggested policy here or any variation of the council as the group wishes to bring in.
I would like to add to this. This generally was my memory. The decisions were made by council. Our first meeting the day after the session ended last year. We passed out the PR books and so forth. That meeting and the next meeting, the minutes were never produced. And that was the policy that we followed by some. And the staff wanted it in the record, whatever type of policy the council wanted to set. I told them my memory of the policy that had been made, the decision that had been made by council at that time. And it would be, as Joel said, that we decided they feel comfortable in their procedures, know that they're going to be billed by Alaska Airlines for X number of dollars, and have it in this column over here of encumbered. You know, it's encumbered. Not be surprised when you can say so. So, Senator Kutula.
I think there should be some authorized travel. Too categorized, too difficult. The way we had it, this could be changed slightly. The consul, of course, could approve the concession any travel any place. You could approve it, or we had a, or a variation of that, you, the speaker, you, the president, or you, or the speaker, or the president could approve it. Didn't necessarily have to be approved in advance of the trip, but that's the hazard of the person taking the trip.
But that's the person authorizing it must notify the staff that it has been approved before they get the bill.
Before they approve.
Mr. Red.
Last year, we were very concerned about the travel.
Yes.
But we, the second council, anybody who's authorized to travel, if it's
I don't want to go back to the
say within 30 days, if it has to be approved, it isn't approved, boy, you pay for it yourself. A lot of states. In state, you travel on your own. Not one. The approvals. The city web is broken.
Tom,
Mr. Farmer,
the notification, make sure that we control over how to do it.
That's right.
See, the problem is notifying somebody before.
Genie only. If Genie's not in the state, the speaker and the president.
So what we did last year was we just started having a little form memo that we switched down on the CRT, which took care of being so angry. The staff would do it. It was one of those, you know, we were notified that somebody was going to make a trip. Switched it down so that they knew in advance that it was going to be billed for this trip. And they could, you know, anticipate encumbered funds instead of ending up showing this big balance and not being able to show much encumbered so we know what the true balance is.
That's a problem. Gal in front of me that I bet she don't make over 10 or 15,000 had her own TR book writing her ride out,
And my own fault, I didn't have mine, so I got an opportunity to pay for cash. But the thing was, it wasn't very long ago that that even council members didn't have this. But that, you know, that's silly.
Last year was the first year.
You're elected, goddamn, you should have your own flywheel.
I said last year was the first year council members had one.
I think to a degree, every once in a while we're going to have a member who doesn't. But I think it's up to the membership of the respective house or the council, somebody who has a responsibility. And probably not the person's fault, but the manager's body's fault, they don't do it. And, but I've seen an awful lot of years where I've felt a lot of creativity across the legislature. Individual members, too afraid to get up on this.
One of my fears is, I'm rather selfish about it, that someone says, I've gone there, and I say, oh, and I write it down, that means Doyle's approved of this. I cannot approve, but suggest, since they told me, they didn't tell the Speaker of the House they were going to do this. So that I'm really seeking something beyond the council. The council members can travel in state without question. Other things will be understood. There'll be every monthly report anyway of justifying bills that come in. In case there's a question among council members. How about members of the legislature at large who aren't on budget and audit, and who aren't on council? What would you recommend there? Advise the President of the Senate and vice versa. That's not worked very nicely. Would you like to continue that? I'm just looking for some guidance here on non-members in case.
Because any travel between sessions is not going to come out of the state council budget.
Anybody else?
The members of this council and any other member of the legislature that decides he wants to travel. You remember several years ago when the council chairman was told all to travel, and it got to the point that the speaker and the president and the council established a policy that at least two of three would approve. And there, I have noticed many differences. Now, if you can make two of the four, I sort of liked it myself. being just a member and not a council chairman, because you were sort of sharing with somebody else the decision that you were going to go. You weren't just picking up on your own and then just later. You contacted somebody in a leadership position and said, I want to go to Jacksonville, and it was disapproved anyway, but there was, you just felt a little bit more comfortable with the person.
Plus the media notification.
Well, other members, other than council, were never allowed to travel up to last year. Last year was the first year of my recollection that anybody other than council members were authorized to travel.
Well, how is this then? A member of the legislative council is authorized to travel within the state and legislative business. TR book will be available for each member. Now, travel outside the state and legislative business is to be approved by the council or to.
If there is no opportunity.
I don't think you'd have to have that opportunity. Just say travel outside the state and legislative business to be approved by the council or chairman and speaker or chairman and president. Or what, however else you want to put that. Or chairman, speaker, or president. Perfectly satisfied they have any one of them myself.
Two of three.
Okay, two by the chairman and one by the president. Yeah, by the chairman.
Or it could be either the two presiding officers.
Why don't we make
any
it
one of the three or any one of the four?
We could make it the chairman, vice chairman, but would be the presiding officer and the function of the council. Well, that gives the presiding officer a crack at two different people. Well, your opinion, if I come up, I want to go to San Francisco and call you, call Chancy. That's sufficient. Or
Sometime back, Mr. Charney worked out an elaborate plan in case we lost, when we do lose the space in the assembly, what we could do in the Capitol, the sixth floor, the court building, costly if we had the money and all the other ifs.
Amy, am I supposed to be the space committee chairman? Yes, sir. Very good.
And we created this space logistics committee to look in this and other matters because this year, of course, the legislature did have some designs to get on the fourth floor, but we know, didn't appropriate rent money to the Attorney General, and the governor cut it back. But there has been an interesting request for space in the House discussions. Of course, there was the usual talk of moving the press room off the second floor, and then making an employee's lounge, accommodate some other interests, and then we've had a representation and correspondence, and our friend Eric Ekholm is here to speak to it. I'd like to pass out a letter from Michael Procaro, Executive Director and Secretary, regarding the Alaska Public Broadcasting Commission. They have worked up a plan for some space they would like to have in the Capitol under the legislature's offices rather than under the governor's offices. And the money has been appropriated for them for the governor's agency to spend some money on the space matter. And I'll pass out this letter, which I think is self-explanatory, for the members here to look at. And this is a matter which we assume would be referred to the Space Logistics Committee, because an overall program has to be adopted for the next couple of years, much less for the time beyond.
Do we have enough to hear something like this?
I talked to Eric and Mike before, and I have some letters to go. The point is that they have the money, but they need the space. Is that what it is?
Yes, they wish to move over to the Capitol. You recall a year ago the general plan included a broadcast studio on the third floor. And when the governor took over the third floor, he just left it out of his plan when all those other plans went awry. And the group was is it needs a studio in the Capitol itself. And as you know, there are other demands for space in the Capitol at the same time. This is one of those matters which obviously needs the attention of the Space and Logistics Committee, because there's a lot of other space problems the next 2 years, much less 4 or 5 years, which the legislature has to address. And this council, as the general administrative agency of the legislative branch, has a rather heavy responsibility in this field.
How quickly does this decision?
Well, evidently, they would like to have, as anybody would, a quick decision regarding the removal of two of our House committees out of the Capitol and over to the court building, and renovating space there, which, of course, my personal view, would bollocks up some plans we had the next 2 years.
Yeah, they're wrong on that.
But they are seeking space, and I think maybe that Eric could speak to the subject once you've had a chance to look at the letter and the plan, because they've been talking over quite some time and worrying about possibilities and alternatives.
Mr. Ekholm, you wish to make a presentation?
This plan here is just a suggestion. We're not really talking about any one specific place right now. There's the area of the first floor would be an ideal location for us, because it would allow us to have any space. The Public Broadcasting Commission received the operation from the Governor's Office of Telecommunications. It's now located on the third floor of the old Post Office building. We also received $100,000 in central 1996 to provide legislative coverage. We feel it's pretty critical that if we're going to provide any kind of good coverage, we need to have access to the meeting room and also have legislators have access to the studio so they can go down and visit at their will in between committees, hearings, and whatever. There was $35,000 included in the $100,000 that could be used for space renovation if space were to be available. Committees would be able to be in the studio space if we take that plan. And I don't think, I'm not sure what other space allocation we could make if we would try to take down as few places as few committees as possible. The one big room I have, first floor, is already used this year as an Alaska Public Radio Network office.
106 was the office to go with that committee room, and then there was an office across the hall to go with that committee room because there were two House committees meeting. Mr. Brown?
No, it seemed to me that although the logistics would have to be worked out and all that, that they could have room 107 set up as a studio. Don't have it assigned to a committee. And then in the event that the rules chairman and the respective chairman of the various committees and the public broadcasting people felt that it was necessary for them to television coverage of
what we basically got thought out for the $200,000 package to take certain key committees, so it might be difficult.
Who makes the decision?
Would you be limited to taping in that one room, or could you go? Could you carry your equipment into other committee rooms?
We're still working out the process. I hope we'll be able to have enough to report the cameras so that we'll be producing a 10-minute daily summary of the legislation, which should be made available to the public and the commercial station in the United States.
Well, just a little bit of history on the space allocation. Time and space was divided up pretty much on a one-to-one basis for the Senate and the House. But as a matter of fact, the House even sacrificed a little bit in the process of doing that. As you recall, we actually combined two committees into that one room that we're talking about right there, State Affairs and Local Government, Municipal Affairs. And I think the House members agreed that they're not anxious to lose even more. Maybe I'm speaking for just one person, but I think the sense of the House would be they're not
one.
Already a good little depth of accommodating space problems by combining those two committees. I'd rather look, frankly, up to the fourth floor or something else.
Like, the point that I have in that meeting was that if the assembly is lost and the field crunches, the nightmare happens. That's the reason that we can consider it. It isn't so much the situation as it exists right now, but the group falls in on other space.
I think Harry's just going to have to wait until either your interim committee takes a break look at it, of course, the next council meeting, or the next council meeting. I don't think we'll make any decision right now on the place. Let's assume.
That's
for not anything near permanent.
That's precisely what I think. Bring us into the future and make some kind of decision prior to September 1, if all possible. So we have to.
Then let's refer this to the Committee on Space and Logistics. Representative Huskras, well, I'm going to make a comment in support of that concept because I think you remember the President of the Board of the Senate describing the space situation from one table and designated to split it out between the tape. And it's used depending on what the appropriate committee is doing in these kind of things. But it would be one thing when it's still a legitimate thing, it's used regularly.
That's a good one.
Mr. Brady?
I think the House side, our membership on the Senate, very high priority. Far more than televising any more sessions, which may be some curiosity to the public that the sense of committee meetings and that kind of deliberation has to be the public side as far as the
you told me to stand there and keep blocking the door while you went down to see the AG. You got off. You were both trying to ram right past me with a damn thing, but possession is not in the law. I said, you're not getting in this room. We know
down the hallway and blocked the door
and almost fist-cutted. Oh, yeah. That's what confused me. didn't have office space. Mr. Brown. What we were doing was assigning it to our select committee on space and logistics, and asked them to come back to the recommendation next term.
It depends on whether you're reelected.
Is that you for or is it the primary of the
Mr. Goel?
Eric, has the governor offered any encouragement, since these are both his agencies and his money, has he suggested any particular interest in being accommodating in the capital or any place? Which is under his Department of Education.
Well, which is supposedly a private commission. He's in the broadcast commission budget for $347,000, which I suspect is probably not able to run.
Why don't Well, he's got lots of space that took over that whole third floor where we were planning to put the maintenance center down there where this board is at. And I think that's a good question. Has the governor trying to accommodate you in the way for space? The next item on the agenda is policy on individual legislative requests to staff involving any commitment of time and money. Mr. Goel?
Madam Chair, members of the council, this is a that has happened in years past, I recall, that oftentimes a member interested in the field will make a request of staff, which is flattering to staff, for a major project requested by him or her personally, which is something that of a size that you normally would expect from a legislature or a legislative council. So it's rather awkward to tell the member that we're just not going to have time to accommodate this request. Some have already come in that way. And the procedure years ago was to suggest to the member that after assessment by staff of the nature of it and the amount of work or money involved, that with his or her permission, you would ask the council for permission to proceed to the size of the project. We've got a couple of requests so far that are interesting and I think broadly into the project, but a request on behalf of an individual member, which of course could kill off the entire staff effort in the interim if you tried to accommodate.
But then again, the member has a right to request things, but when they get a certain size, it's rather formidable and will completely vitiate the formal interim program. And is there any recommendation from the council on otherwise handling it? As I say, I remember years ago, we used to suggest to the member that if, with his or her permission, we would take the request to the council.
I think you better do it that way, it's a short amount.
Yeah.
May I interrupt this discussion just a moment? Senator Craw? He just sent out that he was, he had to leave. Before you leave, I would like to skip out of this current subject and ask the council, what is your pleasure in establishing regularly scheduled council meetings?
Second Thursday of the month. Or maybe in the middle of the week, it will really shatter somebody's work. Get it to either end.
We've been meeting last year on the first Tuesday of each month.
I like the second.
Do you anticipate that we'll be having multiple meetings?
It's a Friday, I doubt it.
I doubt if we will this year, because if, you can tell that things have been running off very smoothly today, and this has been a very heavy agenda. But the staff has things organized well enough that I think as we progress, we will more than likely continue with one day meeting.
Well, I have no objection to Tuesday, because we did end up with meeting one day.
Well,
there's an absence.
Does anybody have difficulties with Thursdays? Does anybody have difficulties with second Thursdays?
Let's have the next meeting on the second Thursday anyway.
Right. So that throws us into the middle of August. If you have it earlier in the month, like the first Thursday,
Madam Chair, you should also just take into consideration that your next meeting will
When is what day?
Second Thursday is the
Will the meeting come to order, please? The second Thursday would be the 12th. The first Thursday would be the 5th.
No,
do you have a fair on second Thursday?
It's the 11th.
That may, you know, we have to stop out.
Well, if we make it for Tuesday, that, what if we make it for Tuesday next month? That would be
well, Tuesday is. Well, why don't we try a Thursday for that month and see how the Thursday is, because we the first Thursday?
Yeah,
on the first Thursday?
On the first Thursday. First Thursday. Oh, Southeast Fair on the 12th.
Rather than go back to Tuesday, which Senator Chula has already said is difficult for him,
well, first Thursday,
but Thursday, and rather than going second Thursday, if we went first Thursday, it would be the 5th, and we could at least try out a Thursday. And actually, coming in early in the month might be good if all of the rest of the month's
work. Gives us 4 months from now, too.
Yeah. So we'll set it tentatively, we'll say the first version of each month, but at least the next month we'll say it will be August 5th.
Are we going to act, are we going to meet in September?
Well, the staff will be doing doing a lot of the groundwork today, we're going to have to bring in the rest of the policy decisions before they do anything. All right, we'll get back now. Excuse me, Mr. Doyle. I was wanting to do that before Senator Croft does.
Anyway, the council would agree to the revival of the old policy of suggesting to a member requesting a major study that, for their permission, they'd like to refer it to the council because of their time and money elements involved.
Mr. Croft,
I was just wondering what is the rating of what you determine what is major and not major?
Look at it, what staff work you think would be involved in way of time. Greg, to give you an example, on a hypothetical basis, we looked at a couple there, and one of them was easy to handle on behalf of a member. But the other one got into really getting involved in several days' work, which means you just, pardon, more than that, you just couldn't possibly give that much time to an individual member.
Why don't you just make a blanket offer that anybody has a major work project, you can pass the buck to them and say, well, I can't authorize it, but standing order that we have a PR available to come to the council. Of course, if they want to spend the time and trouble, come all the way up to a council meeting like the rest of us.
And make
I think that'll weed out a little.
Be serious about whatever they're talking.
Sure. Then they got to confront us.
Okay. Is there any objection to the using that policy? Mr. Brown.
I would just suggest in drafting the language of the policy statement to be that it be in the judgment.
The next item is policy on
draft me a bill revising X code. I would consider that a project break to the council. Because there is the point that you draft bills subject to the priorities as set by the council. And this would not apply solely to research, it would apply to bill drafting also.
I think my particular.
Been at it ever since I've been in the legislature. two or three times I filed with our conflict, which was with many groans.
Mr. Brown.
I can sort of center you, but I think the policy was taken in the rules that are there. I would like to inquire that they stated that this would have to come to council, but may I conclude or require another motion that that this problem really lies, that is, a very burdensome and substantially preparing request, arise during the legislative session. I presume that that should instead go to the rules chairman or the rules committee rather than council.
You're referring to staff work?
Yeah. Well,
talking about interim work, but in the session, we're all there involved
in. In the session, okay, so under the direction of leadership of the two houses, this statement is for interim work. Yeah. Mr. Rhodes.
Going back to the August 5th meeting, I think I've already, this involves my travels. So you there one day or three.
Well, we tried to call it at 9 o'clock today, and didn't get everybody here in the can, so I guess we might as well try to can.
Yeah, I was out there.
When
you travel, you know, I can think of it that way. The day before, which I did this time. If I don't leave by 6, I'm here at 7 a.m., so it takes 3 days.
Well, why don't we call it for 9 a.m.? Can everybody... When does your plane come in? Let's say 9 a.m. on August 5th. Policy on FEMA staff and this work witnesses, Mr. Doyle.
Mr. Erickson mentioned a subject which comes up from time to time, and it's occurred in some of the states, and it could be a problem. There ought to be a probably a council position on it. Greg, you want to explain the exact case that you know of?
I was approached personally earlier this June, request that I appear as an expert witness on a particular case, and I, of course, declined to do so. It was a case that I had been involved with prior to my association with the legislature. The particular people involved were not interested in pursuing it, but they certainly could have, I suppose, and in this particular case, I don't know whether my knowledge gained in the course of my legislative staff duties would have been pertinent or not, but it could very well have been. When I was with the Senate Interior Committee in Washington, I was subpoena was directed at me, and under the standing rules of the Senate, no employee may answer a subpoena except to decline it without a resolution of the body. I thought it might be wise, since something could come up very quickly, to without giving us time to get back to the council, to try to clarify what the policy might be with relation to this kind of problem.
May I ask a question? If you're subpoenaed, is there any way to get out of it?
Yeah, comment.
Mr. Ferrier?
I incidentally, this comment also goes to my suggestion. By subpoena, we deal with confidential information by statute. So therefore, in most instances, I think we would clearly be accepted to testify. If you're served with a subpoena, you may go in and move the court to quash the subpoena. And I would recommend, since we do deal with confidential information, and I think in almost every case it would be proper to quash the subpoena, that routinely this be our response.
For example, we could, in the course of an investigation, a legislative investigation, acquire information under confidentiality guarantees given by the legislature. Certainly that wouldn't be given by the staff, it would be given by the legislature. Or the legislature may develop confidential information otherwise. I think it would be raise a question of conflict of branches if we went ahead and blanketly accepted judicial process. But that's, of course, a policy decision.
Are there any questions or discussion?
Madam Chair.
Mr. Brown.
Is there are any difficulties that might not be said at this time, or can we ask Mr. Berry or Dr. Erickson to suggest two or three alternative approaches?
Barriers.
I can't think of that many alternatives. You either test fire, you move the block.
Okay, well.
The motion has been made and seconded that the council established a policy that if one of our employees is subpoenaed to testify, that.
And we can't get to council before the date of testifying. Or direct.
That the move be made requires the subpoena.
Thank you.
Chris Moon, I could go into that one. Is there an objection to the motion? Hearing no objection, the motion as amended by Ms. Kelly is adopted. Excuse me, Ms. Kramer, please.
Chairman, I would just like to ask.
We're not having been that closely involved with the speakers or any of that stuff, so we just realize there is a situation that brought it to my attention. I wish we had discussed it with you privately before this, and I'm certainly taking into consideration if there are any other discussions that you have. What they're offering is offering their services as additional backup resource for their research staff, so that their staff people concerned with these issues can be continually kept informed, and we'll be able to do it on a crash basis.
We have had a relationship with them ongoing, and I already have one person, actually two people on the staff who have been following those issues, and we'll continue to take them up at the council's direction, with council's concurrence. Formalize that cooperation.
Do you wish to make a motion?
I would like to make a motion.
The motion has been made that the council direct the staff to stay in close contact with the, well, do whatever that letter says. And give them a copy.
Yeah. And of course, that means Mr. Everett will continue.
The motion's been made and seconded. Mr. Bradner. Basically, it would be. However, there might even be somebody in the legal division, too. We'll just turn it over to the agency and let them handle it as a matter of, they just want some direction that they should have the staff formalize the working relationship for informational purposes. Is there any other business, Mr. Warren?
Madam Chairman, I think we forgot to take up the council of state, Western Council of State Governments meeting. The 21st to the 24th, and the chairman of what we're going to do on off-site center.
On things like this, full council business, then all council members are considered authorized to go to the police.
We did that last year, but in reference to the fact that we have left the council of the legislature hanging fire, I wanted to make sure that they had a straight route on council.
So anyone who wishes to attend the Western Conference, the Council of State Governments on July
21-24
in Salt Lake City, is authorized to go. Merely notify, be sure and send in your carbon copy of the CR to the agency. Mr. Patrick.
I have one thing that occurred to me that perhaps will come to your attention, Mr. Jackson. That is, at the end of the session, the Senate passed something called Senate Rules Resolution 8, requiring asking for a statewide study of the fire problem. That was in lieu of passing the legislation that came over that it was such a hell of a.
That was in your memo, wasn't it?
That's in my memo.
That was adopted today in the legal portion of the memo.
Okay.
That legal memo.
We're going to have to do something on that, or I'm going to be in great trouble.
Is there any other business?
I'm sorry.
Mr. Charney?
I have a question. Maybe if I'm just not sure. Did that the travel apply to the all members of this in the state? There are things all questions of minority members.
Council members of the state without anyone from this.
Last year I gave them given PR books and phone.
Oh.
Good point, I forgot.
That's right, I forgot about that. Last year
I
authorized PR books and telephone credit cards for the two minority leaders. So if they would have the same
program,
Mr. Petrullo, do the same thing this year. Is there objection to the motion? Hearing none, the motion is passed. Is there any other business? Any other unfinished business? If there is none, we'll stand in adjournment until 9 a.m. August 5th.